Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening again. All praises to the Most High, Heavenly Father, the great and powerful one, the Ancient of Days, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises. So I've been talking about the heathen. I know a lot of us get on these Gentiles, and they do need and deserve to be get on. There's a justification of them being brought down as well, them being judged and them being talked about. But we also have to remember the heathen. We have to, because what I know is that the heathen is the root cause of this, the root cause of our shortcomings and our demise. Stems all the way back to Cain and Eve and the serpent. I mean, there's multiple doctrines on that, and I'm not going to really get into it other than to say that it only makes sense if the serpent seed is who we're at war with, and Eve was beguiled or molested or seduced by this serpent seed, and Cain was the first child, so to speak, or the first son, then could he have been an offspring of this original sin, right? But then we go further into how Cain was marked, how unrighteousness and wickedness was upon the earth, and how righteousness had to get over the flood through Noah. Okay, and I said that quickly because that's not what I want to harp on, but I wanted to just touch on it for a second. But what I want to talk about is this Neanderthal and Horite connection, the heathen connection, the heathen connection, the Neanderthal / Denisovan man or being to the Horites. That's why I brought up the serpent seed, because these are the serpent seed, the Neanderthal and the Denisovan man. As I was just, because I've been trying to research this and got some good research and got some good information, but I found this article that I'm going to read tonight. And I tell you, this article is phenomenal. And you know, so I'm going to say this. So is it Matthew 18? Let me just make sure real quick. Let me just make sure. I believe it is. I'm sorry. It's John 8 and 44. John 8 and 44. And this is kind of what hit me to this whole thing. And I was just like, man, wait a minute. This thing sounds interesting. Let me do some due diligence. So this is some history for everyone. Here we go. So it says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we take that song, that's Satan. Okay, it could be, but also it could be Cain. Could be Cain, the offspring of this eating of the apple, so to speak, okay? So I wanted to say that because I want to read this first and then talk about it. Copy. This is for educational purposes only. This is copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976. Allowances made for fair use for the purpose such as criticism, comment, news, reporting, scholarship, and research, which is what I'm doing. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. So this is not mine, but I'm reading it because the information in it resonates. This is from yahtruth.com. Yah, Y-A-H, capital T-R-U-T-H.com. Okay? Baphomet, the patriarch of the Neanderthal Horite hybrids, hashtag Edomites. Okay? As I continue my studies into the genealogy of Esau in Genesis 36, I'm quite surprised at how much the Most High is showing me. The most common argument in the Hebrew community is, who is Esau/Edom? This article is in no way an attempt to lay claim that Edom is any particular nation. For those who have proper understanding of scriptures, know that Esau has mixes seed with many nations. However, one nation in particular has specifically changed the Edomite's race in one branch of Esau's family tree, and that would be his intermarriage with the Horites. In Hebrew, Horite means white cave dweller. Now, again, this is not to go against anybody. I'm not being racist or stupid. They have no power. I'm just reading because this is information. There's no anti-Semitism here because I am a Shemite. So all that madness of the Edomites and their folly does not work here. Okay? So let's reiterate that. However, one nation in particular has specifically changed the Edomites' race in one branch of Esau's family tree, and that would be his intermarriage with the Horites. In Hebrew, Horite means white cave dweller. Who are the Horites? And what makes them unique from other tribes? According to the Torah, the Horites were troglodytes, but scientists call this species Neanderthals. The Horites were Neanderthal human hybrids, which will be proven in this article. Some biblical scholars try to explain away this Neanderthal-Horite connection by saying that these cave dwellers were human-like, or were human like everyone else in the region. But this is an attempt to hide the non-human Neanderthal origin of many subsequent descendants of these beings in the region and the emergence of white human hybrid tribes. Remember, all these years, they were pretending that the regions were already populated with so-called fair-skinned people, which is false. Now, let me just hold on there for a second. Because, I went all over this. I wanted to know, when did the Neanderthal begin? So when you do just a quick cursory review and look up on this, it comes up to the Neanderthal is like 67 to 40,000 years ago. Okay? And it's interesting because they got all this stuff. Denisovian hominid lives in the Altai Mountains 41,000 years ago. Like all these things, they know all of this, but they don't know who the Hebrews are. They don't know who the Edomites are. They don't know nothing, but they know this Horite. I mean, this Neanderthal thing. The last they know 40,000 years ago, 320,000, 305,000 years ago, populations at Olorgorsali in southern Kenya undergo technological improvements in tool making, engage in long distance trade. Were they there? I mean, this is so retarded. It's so far past retardation of true logic and true thought to where it's all out and out lies. It really is. I mean, because when you look at their timeline, Like, what is this? This is the upper paleo, no, I'm sorry, the middle Paleolithic is 300,000 years ago. Upper Paleolithic is 40 to 80,000 years ago. The Holocene is 11,600 years ago, and the fourth millennium BC, okay? Then we get into 5,800 years ago. You see what I'm saying? So we go, you know, 6,000 years ago, 4,000 BC, civilizations developed in the Mesopotamia Fertile Crescent. How do they know this? How do they know these exact timelines? And don't tell me, oh, well, they've been studying a long time. Well, if this is all the case, how come they're not saying all – how come it only starts in Mesopotamia? And truthfully and honestly, you could look at every on every continent, you can say life started in South America, life started in North America, because every – being every human DNA species is unique to its continent, but they are saying it's everything started in Africa because they say, now watch this, because that's where the chimpanzees began or the chimpanzees are. So you got to understand that these people were looking for supremacy. So when they are utilizing their numbers, their math, their science, and their history, it all began to be supreme, okay? So why would that matter, why would the chimpanzee matter? Because remember, they were saying evolution is the supremacy of things. Evolution is, okay? So they want to say, oh, well, you know, the chimpanzee, well, back then, you know, we know now that that evolution theory is a bunch of crap, but nevertheless, they wanted to say that the chimpanzee there was started there. So all everything began with the chimpanzee or the ape, and then we all evolved from the ape. So or the monkey, okay? This not the chimpanzee. Not it's specific. I gotta say that too. It's specific, not the monkey, not the ape, the chimpanzee. Okay. And it's funny because the chimpanzee's got a white face. I mean, this stuff is not, it's so funny. I mean, history is a hell of a drug, and I'm telling you, it is very funny to look at it today, in today's world, looking at their world then. Because anybody, it's amazing, but it should be no surprise that they had to make us not read, not write, and enslave us so that they can create these far-fetched, ridiculous scientific theories to make themselves better than they were. Now, let's get back to it. I just wanted to say it because it's like, you know, whatever. All right. Some biblical scholars, getting back to the article, again, YahTruth.com, not William, right? But YahTruth.com. Some biblical scholars try to explain away this Neanderthal-Horite connection by saying that these cave dwellers were human-like everyone else in the region. But this is an attempt to hide the non-human Neanderthal origin of many subsequent descendants of these beings in the region and the emergence of white human hybrid tribes. Remember, all these years, they were pretending that the regions were already populated with so-called fair-skinned people, which is false. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of Edom in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the woman of Esau; Ruel, the son of Basmat, the woman of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Timon, Omar, Sepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz's son, Eliphaz Esau's son. And she bore Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's woman. Genesis 36:8-12. Esau bore children with a Hittite woman named Adah, a Horite woman named Oholibamah, and an and a Ishmaelite named Basma. The Hittites and Horites bloodlines mixed through Esau's son Eliphaz, whose mother is Hittite, and he begat children with a Horite concubine named Timnah. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore Eliphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Ada, Esau's woman, Genesis 36:12. Now let's find out a little more about Seir, the patriarch of the Horites, by digging deeper into an ancient Hebrew word study of his name. These are the sons of Seir, the Shorai, who inhabited the land, Lotan, and Shobal, and Sibion, and Anah, Genesis 36:20. Seir in ancient Hebrew means shaggy, hairy demon-possessed goat, or hairy goat devil, okay? When we look at, like, the article has the Hebrew breakdown, the word, it's H8163, which equals AHLB number 2494B, okay? So 2494 in the Hebrew means hair, okay? Sar, sahar, hair, Hebrew and Aramaic, okay? Hair. The NF1 hair, Sarah BM, Sariah, goat, from its thick hair used to make tents. Two, raindrops as the hair from heaven frequent 60, KJV kid, goat, devil, satire, hairy, rough, rain. At the H8164. So she-goat is Sahara, all right? She-goat from its har, from its hair. That's the KJV, okay? The name of the hairy goat devil worshipped by these heathens for generations. So let's go back real quick. So Seir, okay, remember Mount Seir, the patriarch of the Horites. So that's their god. This is who they reverenced, okay? By digging deeper into ancient Hebrew word study of his name, you know, Seir in ancient Hebrew means shaggy, hairy demon-possessed goat or hairy goat devil, right? So what is the name of the hairy goat devil worshipped by these heathens for generations? Think about it. That's correct. Baphomet. This strange image seen throughout generations is a form of ancestor worship idolatry by the descendants of the Edomite, Horite, Neanderthal hybrids. Now, whether or not Sire actually looked like this isn't as important as the fact that his name literally means shaggy, hairy goat devil, symbolized by the satanic idol Baphomet. And his descendants are at center stage of the worst atrocities in world history. So again, let's look at the regions, okay? Here we go. I'll see you, okay? Caucasus Mountains, Europe, everything that is coming out of there, Alexander the Great, conquered, you know, and that is prophesied. A conqueror will go out and conquer. So these people from this area, from this place, from this people, or these beings, these entities, these Rephaim, okay, probably were giant, what we know is they were definitely Nephilim, okay? Not sure if they were Rephaim giants, which I doubt, but they were definitely not of the human seed, okay? This is what we know. And I mean, when we look at science, you say, are they Neanderthal? They say, oh, well, they're kind of, you know, this humanish this kind of, this blackish, this Jewish, this ish mentality, this ish thing that the heathen, the Gentiles, the Europeans love to throw out. Okay? They love that. They love to say, well, it's kind of like it. But is it? No, well, you know, it's kind of like it. So are you going to go to war? Well, kind of, maybe, sort of, we're going to go to war. Okay, so you're going to, was it weapons of mass destruction? You know, kind of. Or no. Or yes and no. Thick and non. Yes. No, sick at nine, maybe, maybe so. You know, this is the concept of all of their studies, kind of, because they don't know. And when they do know, they can't tell you so, because then you would know that they are liars, okay? And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, H8163, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statue forever unto them throughout their generations. Now, this is talking about Israel. This is Leviticus 17:7. The devils that the Most High has commanded his children not to sacrifice to is Seir, which is the name of the patriarch of the Horites. This verse, Leviticus 17:7, shows that Baphomet worship is very ancient and has always been an issue amongst the children of Israel since ancient times. One form of sacrifice was through sex magic by offering their virgin daughters to the Baphomet priests. This has contributed to the destruction of the human race through intermixing with the troglodyte Neanderthal DNA over the course of generations. This begs the question if there's a connection between Baphomet and the biblical beast Behemoth. There is a connection, and it would make perfect sense when you look at prophecy surrounding this creature. And it shall come to pass, this is Second Baruch 29:3-4, and it shall come to pass when all is accomplished that was to come to pass in those parts, that the Hamashiach shall then begin to be revealed. And Behemoth shall be revealed from his place, and Leviathan shall ascend from the sea. Those two great monsters which I created on the fifth day of creation, and shall have kept until that time, and then they shall be for food for all that are left. Again, Second Baruch 29:3-4. All right. So when you look at the ancient, you do the word of this, you know, through Hebrew, the ancient word, you know, the numerology. The gematria of it, and really it's not in gematria, it's just the definitions in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, you come up with high, right, beast, the bima, bum, right, bahama, beast, cattle, bum, high place, height, wave. So it's interesting also to note that the Horites dwelled in mountains, and this ancient beast, Behemoth, shares the same root as the word Bama, which means high place. It also shares the root word Behem or Baham, which means tall creature. And we already know the story of the Nephilim and the giants in the Torah, so this idea isn't far-fetched. I'm quite sure it's not all a coincidence, right? We know that nothing's coincidence, right? Perhaps Behemoth is the patriarch of Seir, the Horite. Maybe Seir is the offspring of the Nephilim. Maybe the Most High continues to reveal these mysteries to us. Now, that's conjecture. I mean, we all know that's conjecture. We don't know, okay? But we're now able to start connecting these dots. This put a whole new layer of understanding of what the Messiah, what Yahawashi said to the Pharisees in John 8:4. That's what I said in the beginning, especially when you find out that historically at that time, the Edomite converts had seized control of the priesthood once the Romans took over Jerusalem. Now, see, this is the key right here. This is the key. So John 8:4, again, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when we look at this and we go back to the garden, and we already know, listen, there was no fruit tree, all right? That's folly. We're talking about entertaining understanding or overstanding or innerstanding. So the tree of life, and I've done this, I've had this discussion before, the tree of life was about entertaining, dealing with, being part of, seeing, touching, living through it. But you also had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was the same thing. You would go to it, touch it, discuss things with it, get information from it, but Adam and Eve were told, don't go and entertain that tree. Don't go and entertain that understanding, that root, that entity, okay? Now, some older books of doctrine, Gnostics, believe that this was more of a seducing. There was two beings, and the serpent seed was actually a being, and Eve was told, do not entertain that being. Do not go and talk to that being. That being is no good. Once you talk to it, you will die. And they were all like, okay, I'm not messing with it. But then she was seduced when she was alone. That being came over, rubbed her, touched her, whatever. She entertained him. Something happened. A copulation was afoot. And voila, here comes Cain. So then, you know, which was adultery, which was a sin, right? Which then she had to go and make up to deal with, had to go and be with Adam so that it would appear that Adam was the father, but that wasn't the case. It was the serpent seed. Hence why everything Cain did was never good enough for the Father, for the God of creation, okay? Because it was not of his seed. It was the serpent seed, which then goes all the way, comes fast forward to where we are today. When the Edomites had taken over because of the Roman rule of Jerusalem at the time, the Judean Jerusalem at the time, Christ said to them, ye are of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, this is that esoteric information. This is that information. And why is it important? Because you got to know who you're dealing with today. You know, we got Hebrews and Negroes. Wake up, black people. We got this coming out. Okay, that's great information. That's a great beginning. That's a great start. But there's so much more. Just knowing who you are is half the battle. But then, if you don't gain the fullness of your heritage, then it's all for naught. Then what you become is a Gentile, because you only know half the scenario. Gentiles are mixed, half a mind, right? Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. That's a Gentile. A heathen, them dudes is just straight up cold. They don't care. They're cold-hearted. Their actions, their character, we are battling heathens. We're not battling the Gentiles. The Gentiles are just collateral damage in all this. And matter of fact, then the Gentiles are just simply in the way between, and it's funny because this is how I see it. This is my my opinion. The Father ensured that the Gentiles would be in the way of the serpent, of the woman, of the serpent seed seeking the woman's seed, because we had to be mixed in everywhere so that they didn't, that serpent seed did not know where we were. So it could not destroy all of us. That's just my overstanding of it, okay? And when I look at this from a historical perspective like this, and I see you, when he's talking to the Edomites, telling them, you are like your father, a murderer from the beginning. That tells me that somewhere down the line, there's another bloodline, right? We know that, the Church of Mahan and the Church of Seth. We know the righteous seed and the wicked seed. We understand this. So this is where we are. This is what this article is speaking of. It says this put a whole new layer of understanding of what the Messiah, what the Messiah said to the Pharisees in John 8:44. Especially when you find out that historically at that time, the Edomite converts had seized control of the priesthood once the Romans took over the Judean, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. Okay? That was a lot to unpack so quickly. But wait, there's even more proof of Seir, the Horite's connection to not only Baphomet worship, but to the Neanderthals as well. And this is Genesis 36:24. And these are the children of Saban, both Aya and Anah. This was the Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Saban, his father. Now, this is a very, very interesting connection that this person makes here, which also makes sense, okay? Because when we do these words are so important now for us to understand the spelling of them, the etymology of them, and basically how they're used, okay? So it's very, very interesting this. So it says, Saban was the son of Seir the Horite and the father of Anah, whose daughter Ahabama married Esau. His name means spotted with different colors, who is known for being pale-faced while spotted with different colors, people with freckles. What is the origin of the freckle gene, the Neanderthal genome? Okay? So again, here we are, ancient Hebrew, H6648 equals AHLB, number 2655. 2655 is wet, it's sabah, wet, dipping of the finger into a vat of dye and dripping color onto something, right? Speckled spot, that's sabah, and the next one is sabah. Wet, to be wet with drops of dew. Okay, it's the second part. Sabah, this one is spot, something spotted with different colors. Okay, the KJV calls is H6648, which is colors. Sabois, spotted, something, this is spotted, something that appears to have spots of color, speckled. In the KJV, okay, H6641. Atzba, finger, as used for dipping into a liquid such as blood, okay? So it's all just telling you how dripping spot, this is what this is, okay? So encoded in the name of Esau's Horite wife's grandfather is the ancient Hebrew word for freckles. And oddly enough, freckles come from Neanderthal's genes, okay? Freckles are clusters of cells that overproduce melanin granules. They are triggered by exposure to sunlight and are most noticeable on pale skin. BNC2 is one of several skin color genes, and it influences saturation of skin color and freckling. It is a Neanderthal gene and is found in Eurasian populations, most commonly in European. 70% have at least one copy of the Neanderthal version. 20 physical traits you may have inherited from a Neanderthal by John Worthington, okay? So this is sources. There's even more to be revealed in Genesis 36, alluding to the creation of the Neanderthal hybrids through the intermingling of Edomites with the Baphomet Horite seed. This can be seen by taking a look again at Genesis 36:24, where it mentions the mules seen by Anah in the wilderness as he fed his asses. All right, here we go. And these are the children of Saban, both Aya and Anah. This was the Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Saban, his father, Genesis 36:24. Did you know that Neanderthal men could not impregnate human women? Now, there's no source citing for this, but seeing as though this is more like a common sense scientific thing, if you just open your mind, seeing as how the Neanderthals did not survive, it would make sense that they couldn't thrive due to a situation with the male's feet. Okay? That kind of makes sense. However, what this is going to go on to show is that the woman's womb still fertile. Okay? So it says, did you know that Neanderthal men could not impregnate human women, but only human men could impregnate Neanderthal women? That's why all Neanderthal DNA markers are found only in the matrilineal line. In other words, it is inherited from the mother. The mother, the matriarchal. And if you look around in Esau and, you know, all of these other descendants of Esau, they always talk about matriarchal. When you look at Israel, Jacob, his lineage is all talking about, if you look at the scriptures period, it's all patriarchal. There's some matriarchal importance, of course, you know, one being Mary, Rebecca, Sarah, you know, but the patriarchal or the patriarch was more important. The seed was more important, even though the heathen wants to tell you, oh, no, it's immaculate, but we don't have to discuss that. You know, of course, it came from through David's seed. The seed, the man has to provide a seed, you know, but whatever. That's something for another day, but I digress. That's why all Neanderthal DNA markers are found only in the matrilineal line. In other words, it is inherited from the mother. The male Neanderthal lines were phased out due to infertility with human females. The fact that male Neanderthals and their hybrid offspring had fertility issues with mating with human women makes them very similar to the hybridization between horses and the creation of mules. That's where the connection comes, okay? So the mules in Genesis 36:24 was a symbol of a nation of hybrid offsprings between Anah's Horite Neanderthal troglodyte lineage with Esau's human lineage. Mules are mostly infertile and are produced when a male donkey impregnates a female horse. Rarely can a male horse impregnate female donkeys. This verse symbolizes how there will be both hybrids and purebreds living amongst one another in the wilderness together. Okay? So next we're going to have a look at the ancient Hebrew word for donkey, ass, which is H2543, hamor or shamur, all right? So H2543 equals AHLB number 2175, okay? So 2175 is hamur, boil, tar, a dark, thick, and slimy substance often called bitumen, is released at the bottom of water pools, rising to the surface in bubbles seen as a boiling. This substance was used for waterproofing boats or other vessels, as well as a type of mortar, a separating out of substances. Okay, Heimar, boil, to boil as a turbulent boiling of the tar at the surface. Okay, trouble, red, daub, foul. Okay, H2560. Heimar again. Okay, Heimar, wine, the dark and thick wine that floats to the surface of the wine vat. Pure red wine, wine slime. Okay, that's H2561, 2562, and 2564. Hamoir, okay, it's donkey, possibly from its dark color. Now, remember, we're talking dark and thick, dark color, boils, a tar, dark, thick, and slimy. This is what this word means, right? Now, watch this. Heimar is clay, a thick and slimy soil used as a mortar or for making bricks. Homer, a unit of measure, clay, mortar, mire, a unit of measure. Hold on 1 second. A unit of measure. A unit of measure. Watch this, because I'm going to connect it. Hold on a second. Unit of measure. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. A unit of measure. All right, we go on. It's interesting to note that donkey is synonymous with darkness and blackness as well as tar. So the symbolism of donkeys in Genesis 36:24 is an allegorical representation of black people mixing their seed to create hybrid offspring, which is signified by the mule symbolism. Okay? By the mule symbolism. So again, let's read that again. It's interesting to note that donkey is synonymous with darkness and blackness as well as tar. So the symbolism of donkeys in Genesis 36:24 is an allegorical representation of black people mixing their seed to create hybrid offspring, which is signified by the mule symbolism. Remember, there are no random facts when it comes to Torah. When an interesting sidebar is added to a verse, as it was in Genesis 37:24, you must look deeper into the symbolism and not ignore it. Ask yourself, why would the fact that Anna saw mules in the wilderness as he fed his father's donkeys be important to include in Esau's genealogy? See there? Again, esoteric. You got to go deeper. That's what we're talking about here. When you take into account the non-human troglodyte Neanderthal origins of the Horite race through their shaggy, hairy, goat, devil, Baphomet patriarch, Seir, and with him mixing in with Esau and his seed, you can see this intermixing creating a hybrid offspring race, which is symbolized by the mules in the wilderness with the donkeys. Now that I've laid the basic foundation of my ancient Hebrew understanding of Esau's lineage, let's revisit some scriptures with this understanding. First, let's look at Matthew 13:24-30. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of Elohim is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the house came and said unto him, Adonai, did not you sow good seed in your field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will you then that we will you then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's Matthew 13:24-30. Okay, let's unpack this. Now, let me offer a disclaimer. This is one of many interpretations of this parable, so I am in no way indicating that this is the only explanation. These parables are told in such a way as was to unveil many mysteries through the Ruach HaKodesh, okay, the Holy Spirit. The offsprings of the hybrids created through the Neanderthal Horite bloodline has complicated things for the human genome. This is what I'm talking about, the heathen, okay? Esau has spread his hybrid offspring throughout the world to create the white and Arab races, but some of his offspring has mixed back into the black race. You know, Stephen A. Smith and these Shackalicious and these guys, right? Back into the black race, especially during the Arab slave trade and during the Moorish reign in medieval Europe. Likewise, others of the original black tribes have mixed in with these hybrids to create other new white tribes, such as the sons of Japheth, the Canaanites, and some of the other sons of Shem, so much so that it is very difficult to tell someone's lineage through appearance alone, like in ancient times. Time out. This is right there. This is why you know the heathen is behind all of the foolishness going on, because they have created this narrative of race, and that was in recent times, in the 1800s, that they created this narrative of race when they were in their heyday of supremacy, getting all they can, thinking they knew everything, thinking that they were people that they weren't, okay? So they created these narratives and did all this wickedness to the children of God. Now, whether they all knew that they were doing this to the children of God or not does not matter. Matter of fact, it does not matter if they didn't do it to the children of God. The fact that they did it is worthy of judgment because they never paid based on what they did. Heathen is, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't give two rats behinds about it, and I'm not going to get in any trouble. And, you know, it's so funny because the heathen has, this is, you know, he wrote all this stuff, he, she, whatever. They wrote all these things, and they put it in a dictionary, and they told us who we are, and they say they went to the moon, and they say they can do whatever they want to do. They say that they'll never be judged. And all, you know, but this is all they do is say. All they do is present a lot of lip service. That's why today, when they're absolutely struggling, in a mental dysfunction of mindset. Absolutely. They don't know how to react. So they just react to everything. Any little thing. Oh, God, the world's gone. And we're sitting over here going, no, it's not. Oh, no, you're not going to destroy this. You are not going to destroy this world. Oh, no. What you're saying does not equate to common sense, to rational common sense. I am Trump. I will run again. I don't care. Nobody cares about that. No Israelite cares about your politics. No Israelite cares about your religions. No Israelite cares about your education. No Israelite cares about your ideologies. We're done. We no longer are dealing in a heathen state of mind. not even Gentile, because Gentile, you get the mindset, you can say, well, you know what, I might be able to consider this. So everybody has these levels. So we all were heathens at one time. Okay? Now, that's not the, I feel like this. We all had heathen thoughts at one time. We all had Gentile thoughts at one time. But due to the Father's mercy, grace, and love, and choice that he made, he allowed us at this time to wake up or to understand, overstand, understand who we are so that he can impart wisdom to us so that we do not no longer have to be in a heathen or Gentile mindset. There's so much going on right now, like the connections to, like, this is the Horites. These people lived in caves. This is the Neanderthals. They lived in caves. This is not conjecture. This is not speculation. This is facts of the matter. Esau lived in caves. Again, not conjecture, not racist, whatever that stupid word meant or means that was created by the heathen to keep us under subjection. It doesn't even matter. Those are facts of the matter. This is their story. And I ain't mad at them. Shoot. It is what it is. But don't expect me to be part of it or to enjoy it or to like it or to want it. I don't have to. That's the beauty of the day. For too long, we have sat back and was like, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I got to do this. I mean, they know. I mean, that's what they say. I mean, I got to vote for the lesser of the two evils. You know, I got to go to school and listen to what they say. I got to get this four-year degree. I got to get this money. I got to do this. All heathenistic. Whilst they're laughing, giggling, knowing that we will never be, but we will die and be in the same sort as them, never knowing who we actually are. And they laughing at us about that because they'd rather take us down feeling as though they know that they can't, they're part of surface scene. They know that they can't make it. They know that they ain't Gentiles to even be able to consider. They can't consider. It says heathen, a derogatory noun, a person who does not belong to a widely held religion. See, this is the heathen mindset, or rather, this is the Gentile interpretation. A person who does not belong to a widely held religion, especially one who is not a Christian, Jew, or Muslim, as regarded by those who do. No, a heathen is a demon. So if you ask an Israelite, not a Christian, Jew, or Muslim, you understand that a heathen is a Horite, is a demon. A heathen is not one to obtain the salvation of Yahweh Shai. And if you ain't obtaining the salvation of Yahweh Shai, then you have to be contrary to that, which means you are a demon. That's not hard. Matter of fact, that's way too easy nowadays. That is simple. That's 1 + 1 = 2. Or rather, that is 2 + 1, 2 - 1 = 1. Or 1 - 4 = 3, right? And we could do these numbers all day. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is not hard to us anymore. We now can see. That's why I talk about the differences, because we have to, because listen, there's going to be Gentiles coming your way, coming our way. And we're going to have to discern which one we're supposed to deal with and which ones we're not. And these Gentiles it's like a sheep, a wolf in sheep clothing, right? So that's a heathen in Gentile clothing. Because believe you me, you're going to know an Israelite. The light will come at you. You'll know that. So the trick is knowing who's the heathen and who's the Gentile? Because a heathen is all day trying to ensnare you, trying to trip you up, trying to make something make you into his or her lie, or rather, to damn you for all eternity, like they will be. A Gentile is just a foolish person who really don't really understand and can maybe consider with the help of the Father, but that's not on us to do. That Gentile has to come to us. That's why it's very interesting how you view these people, black, white, Puerto Rican, Haitian, it doesn't matter. You know, race is some stupid construct made up by the heathen, European, the Neanderthal, the Horites, the Edomites, to keep us under subjection. So this has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. This has everything to do with the character of one's mind, the thoughts of one's mind, the actions of one's body. The offspring of the hybrids created through this Neanderthal Horite bloodline has complicated things for the human genome. Esau has spread his hybrid offspring throughout the world to create the white and Arab races. But some of his offspring has mixed back into the black race, especially during the Arab slave trade and during the Moorish reign in medieval Europe. Likewise, others of the original black tribes have mixed in with these hybrids to create other new white tribes, such as the sons of Japheth, the Canaanites, and some of the other sons of Shem, so much so that it is very difficult to tell someone's lineage through appearance alone, like in ancient times. The Messiah has a solution in this parable. Let the wheat and the tares grow up together, and let the Spirit bear witness until the harvest of Yah when he gathers the tares, Satan's seed, and burns them. Then the Most High will gather the wheat and store them in his barn, which symbolizes esoterically the kingdom of Yahawashah. There seems to be a bit of confusion surrounding the connection between the Horites and the Neanderthal. One thing must be noted as stated in my article. Neanderthal white men were infertile with human black women. Only human black men could mate with and impregnate Neanderthal women. So the writer is confusing the points. I don't want it to be missed. We have to realize that Esau was not Caucasian. He was actually, he was a twin. So he still had Israelite blood, Israelite features, okay? Ancient, Negro, Negroid, black, whatever features, okay? I mean, I dare say African because African features, Hamitic features, do not necessarily equate to Negro features, okay? So that's why I'm saying it like that because, we got to differentiate these things in order to actually have our eyes wide open. Not everybody is who they say they are, and those that say they are may or may not be. Okay? So in this case, she's saying, the article is saying that basically only human Neanderthal says, okay, let me read it again. There seems it to be a bit of confusion surrounding the connection between the Horites and Neanderthals. One thing must be noted as stated in my article. Neanderthal white men, okay? So I'll just read it. Neanderthal white men were infertile with human black women. Only human black men could mate with and impregnate Neanderthal women. Now, this is Esau's bloodline, okay? Therefore, Seir, the Horite, was a Neanderthal hybrid with a Neanderthal mother and a human father, most likely from the Hivite tribe of Canaanites. Remember the Hivites? Some scholars are unsure if Hivite in Genesis 36:2 was a mistranslation, while others cite the Horite genealogy in Jasher 10:28 to connect them with the Canaanites. Okay. What some Hebrew mores fail to acknowledge and understand is that although your tribal lineage is inherited from your father, your ethnicity and genetic makeup comes from both the mother and father. All right. Evidence of this is when black men have children with white women, the children share their mother's white phenotype and DNA with their father. And interracial offsprings are a blend of the two races phenotypically. All that is true. I mean, there's I sense no lies. I sense no lies. And Seir, the son of Shoriah, son of Shavibi, son of Canaan, went and found a valley opposite to Mount Paran, and he built a city there. And he and his seven sons and his household dwelt there, and he called the city which he built Seir, according to his name, that is the land of Seir unto this day. That's Yasher 10:28. Okay? Do your own due diligence. So I'm reading this because it gave me enough due diligence to pass it on. You know, and the most the most I said, this one. Okay. So back to the Horites. Even if Jasher 10:28 is true and Seir was a descendant of Canaan, it's evident through the study of ancient Hebrew that the Canaanite Hivites made it with Neanderthal women to create the Horite-Neanderthal hybrid tribes. Okay? This abominable intermixing created the Neanderthal hybrid patriarch Seir, which means in ancient Hebrew, hairy, shaggy goat devil, who was a Horite, which means white cave dweller in ancient Hebrew. The truth was hidden in plain sight all this time. The Neanderthal hybrid Seir inspired Baphomet idol worship for generations as a form of ancestor veneration for the patriarch of these heathens. The truth is not hate speech. All right? All I can tell you is, this is from Yahya Truth, and this is, again, copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for the purpose of such as criticism, comment, news reporting, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing, but this is for all educational and scholarship and research purposes. Let's go to the timeline because it's very interesting. Let's go back to this. So 40,000 years ago, they're talking about the Neanderthal, right? But let's just give them that. Let's give them 40,000 years. So that would have been before the flood. So after the flood, what's up with these Horites? What's up with Goliath? You know, now all the giants. See, this is the heathen and the silly Gentiles that go along with them. All the giants were before the flood. Well, okay, then what about Goliath, right? What about Og, right? I mean, Og was fighting Moses, right? I mean, they were in the land of Canaan, right? You know, all these things are not sci-fi. This is all reality, but because the people who wrote them, who understood them, who held on to the knowledge of all of this, chose to be dealing with the Horites, chose to deal with the heathen. And this is, we can see the same scenario playing out today in our life, okay? Because you think about it, for a long time, there was no mixing. No mixing. It wasn't until we decided we didn't want to mix, we wanted to be separate, and we started thriving in our own community, that they realized that they could not allow us to do that for fear that we'd take over. Because they knew who we were. So every man, cursed every man that hangeth on a tree. Who's been hanging on trees like nobody's business, like this is a carnival with postcards? Who's been eaten and destroyed? Cursed, every man hangeth on a tree. So these people have been doing these things to our people because they could, one, and two, because they knew that we were the children of God. So I was reading today, you know, talking the Jewish people, they get all offended because, and they're the ones that are, and of course, this should be expected. They're the ones that are pushing this narrative of black Hebrew Israelites. Okay? They're the ones that are saying they are a hate group. Okay? And that's to be expected. But none of them, when they run up against a Kyrie, when they run up against a Ron Dalton, when they run up against a Big Judah, Big Levi, someone with intelligence and poise and character, they can't battle that. So then they get into this craziness. But now with this other information of the inner earth, okay, the man with the little mustache, all this information of who we are, all this information of who they are, all this information, all this overstanding of their degenerate system, their if the Father woke us up during the time of their blessing, they could, and we were still, if he woke us up under our cursing, which doesn't really make sense, but woke us up under our cursing and them under their blessing, what would they do? Oh yeah, they did it. They killed everybody, right? They murdered everybody. But he woke us up strongly, indisputably, after our curses and into our blessing, into their cursing. That's why it's funny, you know, there is no Jacob's trouble. Jacob's been in his trouble. We've been in trouble. Shoot, we stayed in trouble. You know, when you were young and you had that, you know, that cousin, or brother, or sister, whatever, man, that dude always in trouble. That was us. Until we got older and realized our ways. I'm going to learn from that. I did this. I'm done with that. And now, if we take it to today, these heathens are seeing this and they're going, we can't have this. We can't allow them to come together within their collective consciousness to be able to realize who they are in order to be a light, to be a, and this is my opinion, to be that alarm light for the inner earth people. Yeah, this earth is so old, and we are but ants upon it in the big scheme of things. And some of these ants are cursed, some of them are not. And cycles come and go. And at this point, the cycle that's here is the cycle of justice. This earth has been plagued so long with injustice that it is sickening. And I don't care, or I don't understand, and I don't understand, but I don't care what people think or feel has been given into the hand of the wicked. They have hidden all things good and right. And we say they. Who are they? The heathen, along with the Gentile. The Gentile, Boule Negroes, right? The Gentiles are those evangelical people. Consider, they do have a love of Christ and whatever ridiculous, I won't say that, whatever deformed understanding they may have of Yahawashi, they still have a grasp of it. The heathen does not grasp Yahawashi, period. The heathen don't consider, don't care. All the heathen wants is to devour. So when we look at these people, when we are discerning, when we're tuning our our frequencies and our and getting deep into our studying and getting deep into the earth, we have to understand that there's some heathens out here that are wanting us at all costs to be devoured. So what does that look like for us? That looks like that we have to take a step back. We have to endure all of this, but we have to take a step back. We have to see and hear now. We don't have to speak to them. We don't have to entertain them. We never, not say we have, but I'm just saying we don't have to. What we have to do is hear and see what they say. So now our frequency has changed. Now it's a discerning frequency, along with all the other frequencies and energies that we have to, and as we gain our heritage and power back, as we look for the key to the inner earth, as we do everything else we're supposed to be doing and fighting the powers that be, we still have to endure. You know, we still got to be patient. Even amongst all the heathen who are not patient, all the Gentiles who are not patient, all they run around doing is scared. They're running in fear. I mean, remember when we had fear? Shoot, all right, man, I can't go to that place. I don't want to go there at night. I don't want to go there during the day. We can't go to that hood. We can't go to this hood. We can't do this. We can't do that. That's fear. Now, these dudes are saying it. They're seeing the same thing. They're going, man, we can't go here. You know, we can't go there. You know, their colleges, their universities, fools is out there killing. Indiscriminately, white, black, Puerto Rican, Haitian, fools out here in these universities and these places, these colleges are being destroyed. So it goes back. That's our problem. There is no safety. Fear will encapsulate them. This is the beauty of our time because we have no fear. Jacob will fear no more. Jacob will be still. All of Israel is running around here. We're going, let me just keep studying. The more we study, the more things happen for them, we know. The more things happen to them, we know. But the more we study, the more we gain peace of mind. And it is fleeting, this peace of mind thing, because that's the blessing. The blessing is peace of mind. We get to study whilst the whole world is running around scared to death. We get to study. All right, show yourself approved. Go in your room, study. Look at these things, start thinking. I'm going to send the spirit over there to help you out. It'll be your tutor. I'm going to let you get this tutor, and it's a good tutor. So just listen, learn, and behave. While the whole time, the Father's out there putting the word to these people. And it's so evident today. Oh, well, Russia shot a missile into Poland. I mean, if that's not a false flag, you know, all I could see when I heard that, I was like, oh, God, here we go. Whoever that Ukraine, I don't even know the dude's name, but all I could see was his face and him shooting a missile over there and then calling Billy O. Biden and going, oh, Russia shot a missile in Poland. And it was him doing it the whole time. And lo and behold, I was correct. That's the feeling was there. I felt the truth, and the truth was true. And I was like, see, these people think we are dumb. There will be no more bamboozlement of weapons of mass destruction. All this stuff will be on their hands. That's why the Spirit is telling. That's why they ain't doing nothing. They ain't fighting each other right now. Because they know they don't have our support, and they don't care about the Gentile support. They need our support, right? I mean, if you go into war without the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you might as well just go ahead and slit your own throat. I mean, that's evident through Jasher and through all the books and the stone, the compilation of stone scriptures that they call their Bible. We can read that all over the place. If you go to war and you don't have the backing of the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's a wrap for you. That's the whole thing. Every war they went to, we must talk to the oracle. And the oracle could get it right, or the oracle could get it wrong. And if the Father was using the oracle to get it right, then they won. If the Father used the oracle to get it wrong, make them go wrong, they lost. So that's why they ain't fighting, because right now the oracles are saying, hey, y'all need to slow down. Because right now, what I'm seeing is, once you all come together for war, it's a wrap. Let me get that, Joel 3. Let me get that for you. Y'all need to read this. And Biden's over there going, And Putin's like, well. And China's over there going, maybe I can get into this real quick. But nobody, not one of them, are considering us. That's why they can't go to war. Because the moment that they completely not consider us and step over that line and come at the moment they come at the Most High's king, it's a wrap. It's interesting, all of this last chessboard, this last game on this chessboard of heathen system, the heathen system chessboard, is interesting to watch this game. You know, we all said it too, you know, once the queen died, it was a wrap, right? Queen was it. And now the king people hate the king, throwing stuff at him, eggs and everything else. You know? I mean, these people are an abomination. Matter of fact, look at them. And then you get people go, oh, you're judging them. No, listen, I'm not judging them at all. I'm looking at what they do. I'm looking at how they look in relation to what they say. So they say they are kings and queens, and they look like heathen. They look like inbred abominations. Drunken faces. Put it like this. They don't look healthy. I would think that if you're king of the Most High, if you were divinely ordained to be a king of the Most High, you would be looking, I dare say, beautiful, but you would be looking radiant. You will have a glow about you. Energy would be good. Your frequency would be good. Your movement would be good. But these dudes and women over there, they look terrible. They don't look like no king of the God I serve. That's for damn sure. They do not look like that. King or queen. So now what's happening is that they're all being exposed. The whole thing is being exposed to the extent that we are seeing their demise in front of our face. Thing on them is becoming very plain to see. It's like they're an open book. None of these guys and girls and women and men as a heathen and a Gentile have any more authority. They can't go and eat the children like they used to. They can't drink blood like they used to. They can't do the things that they used to because their blessings are done. The revelation time. This is the exposure time. So the moment that they try to do something, this is what we're seeing. Every time they get ready to do something, they're getting caught. You know, this Pelosi husband thing, I don't know what to make of it. I don't really care. What it's telling me, though, is they ain't even safe. There was a time period where, them fools couldn't nobody get up there. Nobody in their right mind would believe would take the chance. It'd be like a TV movie cat burglar, you know, breaking into, you know, some Pink Panther type deal. It just shows my age. But some Pink Panther, like, you know, some world renowned. But no, this dude just, you know, shoot, I'm just going to bust up in here with a hammer. Shoot. I mean, it's amazing to me how far they have fallen. You got Trump. I'm coming back. I'll be back. Okay, man. All right. Go do your thing. I mean, you've already served your purpose, Trump, as the last Trump of the Gentiles by telling them the truth, right? He was the last one. He told them the truth, but they didn't believe him because he is known as a liar. So when he was telling the truth, they didn't believe him. Now they don't want him, and then they planted stuff on him. They did to him as they have done to us. This is no secret. Because why would, if Trump was a liar and trifling and a, you know, just a wicked man, why would they be after him the way they are? People say, oh, well, you know, January 6th, listen, sedition, yeah, that's one thing. Yes, to incite, yeah, all that stuff. But how much blood was on Obama's hands? How many was on Bush's hands? And though that blood was real blood, that was innocent blood. Them dudes that busted, they didn't even take no blood. All they did, well, one of them got hemmed up. I think a cop got hemmed up. Okay, collateral damage in the big scheme of things. When millions, hundreds of millions of people that look like me have been destroyed, and I'm supposed to be saddened? It's not a lack of empathy for me. It's a judgment for me. It is, hey, we are in cosmic karmic times. Cosmic karmic times. So when people are getting their just rewards or their just desserts, I don't know what to say about that. There's nothing I can do. It's not even for me to indulge myself with that. Because they got to pay. They all got to pay. Payment, knocking at the door on every single one of them. Blood on their hands. So Trump didn't say, I said we got weapons of mass destruction and we got to go do some killing. I mean, he didn't go, we got to bring freedom and death over there to these people. He didn't say that. He didn't say, let me go and kill Gaddafi because, you know, I just feel like killing somebody because I don't want him overtaking our fiat currency. And look at that. Prime example, Gaddafi. Kill Gaddafi because Gaddafi was talking about creating the BRICS. But you know what? All of a sudden, they kill him. They stand the test of time for a few more years. Here comes Putin. And they ain't going over dropping bombs and chasing down Putin in the sewer. Hell no. Putin over there, he got just as much guns, if not more, than they got. And he got allies. And funny thing is, Trump, telling the truth, calling everybody out, took all the allies away from this piece. This here girl, American. Now she crying, upset, mad, got this dude Biden out there that looks like he is one pebble from death. Like he trip over that, it's a wrap, done, broke everything, and now they got to put him down. And we got a Kamala Harris who is a boule to the core who doesn't know nothing, just she got blood on her hands. Every one of these people in this game that's sitting at the top got blood in their hands. The only people that may or may not have blood in their hands, I don't know, are these entertainers. But some of them do because they sacrifice, because fame comes at a cost. So they either sacrifice themselves or they sacrifice their mama, their daddy, their sister, their brother, their cousin, their uncle, their dog, their cat, whatever. This is the Baphomet world. And it should be plain to see. That's why I read this. Because the heathen had to have its reign as well. For a time. Now, its reign was going to be really short, but the Baphomet, isn't that what the trans people are? This is what I'm saying. Like, the whole connection to this whole demise is very in our face. Yes, it's going to be tough, but we have to endure. We cannot be complicit, as it is stated. We cannot be complicit, and we cannot be complacent. We have to continue on. The fight is just beginning. What are you prepared for? Are you prepared for war, or are you just prepared? Are you go high, like the Gentiles? The Gentiles talking about hiding. The heathen, they just want to do some killing, but they hiding too. Everybody in hiding mode. We're the ones that's coming out in the light talking about who we are, and they mad at us. Oh, anti-Semitic, good. Listen. Now is not the time for the issues, and this is why they got blowed up. The time is not for the issues to try to come against us either. Don't come against the Most High's loins. They have made a grave error. They went against the Most High's loins. And now they don't know what to do. All of this is playing a part in the whole schism of the demise of the revived Roman heathen system. All praises to the Father. All praise, because this was, without him, none of this could have even been said. I am very grateful, because tonight that information has steered me up to continue on. It edified me. So I hope that it did the same for you. Those that listen, continue to study, show yourself approved, fight the powers, listen and hear, and stay up, Israel. Our time is here. All praises to the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach, and to Yahawashah, our brethren, our master, who shows us the way. I pray in thanksgiving and praise. Now, before I go, I want to, if I can find it, if I still have it up, otherwise it will be a shalom to everyone. I have it. Oh, shoot. Nope, I don't. It's in my book, to my Nag Hammadi, which is the editor. And it is too late to get into that. But I will do this again. All praise to the Most High, and Most High willing, we shall see you guys again. Shalom.